love a documentary.
You don't have to make sex sounds every time you say you like something.
That is not my sex sound. Okay. You're no my sex sound.
No! Shut up! I'm going to rip the headphones off my head. I don't want to know.
Smashing Security, Episode 265, The Nigerian Super Cop, and a p***er versus a p***er, with Carol Terrio and Graham Cluley.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Smashing Security, Episode 265. My name's Graham Cluley.
And I'm Carol Terrio.
And this week, Carol, we're joined by...
Well, we were being joined by someone very special.
Very special.
They got sick. And their voice was gone. And I actually made an excuse to call them up to make sure.
And that's
right. Spluttered down the phone enough that
I can't come on the show, Carol. My voice.
But they'll be back in a few weeks. So you will find out who it is then.
Yeah.
Let's get on with the show and thank this week's sponsors, Collide and Dreta. Their support help us give you this show for free. Now, coming up on today's show, Graham, what do you got?
I'm going to be giving you some new developments in the Hush Puppy case.
Hush Puppy case? You mean the shoes?
Maybe.
Oh.
No.
Oh. And I'm visiting Jeff Bezos, or who I call now Jesus's empire. Plus, we have a fab interview with Jason Meller. He's CEO and founder of Collide, and he talks about what drove him to launch the company, what services they use to empower IT to improve your security posture by working with, not against, employees. All this and much more coming up on this episode of Smashing Security.
Now, Chum, there have been many famous detectives, haven't there? Can you name some famous detectives?
Not real ones, only TV ones.
But you only know TV detectives?
I think so.
What about Sherlock Holmes?
Okay, literary detectives.
All right. Mm-hmm. What about Basil, the great mouse detective? Mm-hmm. Magnum P.I.
All fictional detectives.
Who was... I don't know if Sherlock Holmes was fictional.
Yes.
He
was.
What?
Jesus
Who
Christ.
Was your favorite detective, girl?
I like Sidney Grice. He's my favorite. You won't know him.
Oh, what's he from?
He don't read. It's books. Anyway, he's kind of a rival to Sherlock Holmes. And I think they exist in the same time frame. But he's a real asshole. I like him.
Oh, well, I like Columbo. And Columbo, definitely not an asshole. But there are some very famous, genuine, real-life detectives like... Abba Kyari, the Deputy Commissioner of Nigerian Police. I'm sure you've heard of Abba Kyari because
he's not come across my echo chamber, but that could be my failing.
Well, I'm sure our listeners in Nigeria know about him because he is a bit of a superstar. Abba Kyari is the youngest high-ranking officer in the Nigerian police force. He's been celebrated as a hero by Nigeria's president, and he's gained the reputation of super cop. Not RoboCop, Super Cop.
I wonder if someone suggested RoboCop. No, not that one.
He's made tons of successful criminal convictions. He's brought people to justice. He's arrested notorious kidnappers. He's rescued girls who've been abducted. He's grabbed robbers.
Does he wear his pants on the outside of his trousers? Like a real superhero?
No, he's a very dapper individual. If you go to his Instagram account.
Oh, for God's sake.
You will see.
What does he post?
Very stylish. Mostly pictures of himself
looking dapper. Sort of,
or just looking like, you know, a bit of a super cop.
Okay.
He's been given the country's top gallantry awards 3 years in a row. He's actually said to be the most decorated police officer in Nigeria in the last 20 years. He's a big cheese.
Okay, I'm really nervous because we're talking about him on our show. So,
well, he's not coming on the show. He's not. It's not like he's lost his voice. He even has a street named after him in his hometown.
Is it written in crayon? No, or is it
No. He's got a real sign. They erected it in his honor.
They love this guy.
I kind of love him too. I've been ploughing through his Instagram. I've been fascinated by his posts. On his birthday, for instance, someone raved like this about him. This is what he himself reposted on his Instagram. And it has a quote. It says, "Your essential authenticity unnerves me. Your disarming wit, your unfailing commitment to faith, family and country are issues that compete for expressions around you. You're patriotic and humble. You're a friend to all you meet and evidence in class and dignity. You represented the best of our country with your generosity, humility and kindness. Your birth speaks solemnly." It goes on and on and
okay,
on.
Okay, my alarm bells are ringing a little bit. I just want you to know that. Okay, crack on.
Basically, he's an amazing guy.
He's like the best.
Imagine someone like me, but being a deputy commissioner in the Nigerian police force. And that's the kind of impression you're getting. He's got a big social media profile. He's someone who's adulated over, someone who's looked up to, someone who's admired. A lot of testosterone.
Are you adulated over?
Hmm?
Are you adulated over?
I think there are corners of the universe which might occasionally look at the smash. I don't know. I mean, Carole, you know, hey, right? Now, basically, he's an amazing guy.
Right.
Or is he?
Dun, dun, dun.
Because cast your mind back 2 years ago when in episode 186, I think it was, of Smashing Security.
Good that you did your homework.
Yeah, no, I just happened to memorize them all. We shared with you the extraordinary story of Raymon Abbas, another Nigerian who was better known as Ray Hushpuppy.
Yes.
Now, he was a Nigerian Instagram influencer. He had 2.3 million followers, which is even more.
Yes.
Than Abba Kyari, my policeman.
Super cop.
And he regularly posted pictures of his jet set lifestyle, his foreign trips, his expensive cars, his designer clothes.
Big clunky watches. Yeah.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And one of the ways that Hushpuppy, if you remember, and his gang made their millions was through laundering money stolen through business email compromise, right? They broke into corporate email systems. They sent bogus invoice requests for payment. They tricked companies into coughing up money, transferring it into an account under their name.
And then disappear. Yep. Okay, I remember.
Absolutely. Right. Now, Hushpuppy was alleged to have been involved in a number of pretty major frauds. There was an attempted theft of $100 million from a English Premier League soccer club. There was a plot to move 200 million quid from a company in Scotland.
So he dreams big, Hushpuppy.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest, a very successful Nigerian entrepreneur.
Scammer. Right.
Well, yes. Okay. So his particular industry was that of crime.
This must be so shitty to every other Nigerian out there who's just trying to do a good, solid job at what they're doing.
Yes.
I hate it.
Now, the U.S. Department of Justice, they caught up with Hushpuppy.
Caught up with him? Like physically or just called him on the phone? Yo, 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 hush! Hush! It's no talk!
Yeah. Hush, hush, puppy. Now, Hushpuppy and two of his co-conspirators, according to the DOJ, they attempted to defraud a business person in Qatar, not the phlegmy nose condition.
The country.
Yeah, the country.
Yep.
By claiming to be consultants and bankers who'd facilitate the construction of a school. So what they did was they created bogus documents. It's not the Department of Justice who did this. This was the bad guys.
This is Hushpuppy and his crew.
Exactly. Fake banking website. Telephone banking line. They allegedly defrauded about 1.1 million out of this individual. But something went wrong with the scam. Hushpuppy fell out with one of his gang, a guy called Vincent.
Or Vinny for this story, right?
Okay. All right. Hey, Vinny. All right. My cousin. Okay. So Vinny. Vinny, the Italian Nigerian. Vinny, he turned on Hushpuppy. And he's said to have contacted the Qatar business person and said to him, hey, that puppy, that hushy puppy, he's no good. He's trying to defraud you, right? So the scam was ruined.
Right. Yeah.
And you would think at that point, well, this is really bad news for Hushpuppy because Hushpuppy's going to get caught. Hushpuppy's going to go to jail. Just wait until Supercop from Nigeria hears
about
this.
This is a popcorn eating moment. Okay. I'm with you.
Cause now we've got it coming together, right? Cause we've got Abba Kyari, this amazing super cop from Nigeria, one of the most high profile policemen.
Decorated thricely.
Yes. Multiple times. Thrice. Well, what is alleged to have happened is that when Kyari caught up with Hushpuppy, what actually happened was that Hush Puppy, the Nigerian Instagram influencer and fraudster, said to Kiari, the super cop, could you go and arrest Vincent instead of me? And if you do that, I'll give you a whole load of money. Mm. And so what's said is that Kiari, the super cop, arranged to send photographs of Vincent arrested and in jail.
Oh, he faked
it? To Hush Puppy.
He faked it.
No. It looks like it really happened. They did arrest Vincent.
Right.
He sent the photographs to Hush Puppy, and then the cop sent his bank account details to Hush Puppy, saying, can I receive payment for a job well done?
No.
It's like Line of Duty. It's like Who's H? H is Hush Puppy.
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Now we're sucking on diesel.
Okay.
Mary, Joseph and the sweet baby Jesus and his donkey. Anyone outside the UK doesn't know what we're talking about now. But anyway. Now, Kiari, the super cop, mm-hmm. he said, oh, no. Hush.
Hush. Said, no, I'm not calling you.
Siri says, okay, I'll call. No, you're not in my address book. He said, no. All I ever did was supply Hush Puppy with designer clothes because we're both on Instagram.
Says Vinny.
No, this is Kiari.
Oh, right, Kiari.
Vinny's in jail.
Vinny's screwed. Right. Okay.
Hush Puppy's out. Kiari has been found allegedly asking for money and jailing people on Hush Puppy's word. And it subsequently emerged allegations that Kiari, the super cop, has been a bit of a naughty boy. It suggested that he's fairly high up in an international drug smuggling ring.
For fuck's sake. So not so super at all. Really, so, not super at all.
Not a great guy.
No.
If it's true. And it said that he was involved in a deal involving 25 kilograms of cocaine. So some of the drugs.
Who's going to tell the guy who left him wax lyrical message on his Insta profile? Who's going to break it to him?
If you go to the Instagram now, there are people who are slightly disappointed in him. They are leaving comments now because they used to adore him.
Oh my gosh!
So it said that. He sort of, when he found out the drug enforcement cops got hold of all this cocaine, he went round there and said, look, guys.
Guys. Yep.
Guys, huddle. He said, guys, look, you don't have to take all 25 kilograms of cocaine and take that to the court. Why don't you just take 10 kilograms of cocaine? We'll take the other 15 and split it between us to sell. And we'll replace the rest with baking soda or something.
And are you kidding me?
No, basically, there's been all kinds of shenanigans going on involving the most famous cop in Nigeria.
Not so super cop from now on, right?
Exactly. A bit of a dummy. Anyway, fortunately, the drugs cops, they weren't so sure this was a good idea. So they went to their bus and said, you can't believe what super cops just suggested we do. And so they dobbed him in. So Kiari, the super cop, has been suspended. It remains to be seen whether the US want him or the Nigerians are going to deal with him. There's all kinds of investigations going on into him. But he does appear to have been, at very least, involved with Hush Puppy, whether providing him with designer clothes or not. So there you go. I mean, this is the thing. When you turn into be a big fraudster, you have so much money and you have to launder so much of it. I guess there might come a point where you start paying the cops
to
help you out.
Yeah,
keep
I know,
business
but,
going.
You know, it's kind of a dead giveaway if you go around wearing Armani suits and crocodile shoes and Rolexes and you're a cop. No?
Would you like a road named after you in your hometown, Carol?
No.
All right.
I wouldn't even want a statue.
No.
Imagine.
It'd be like the Princess Di one at Harrods. You could have a little shrine to you, Carol. Maybe when you're gone. With your headphones on and your microphone.
Right.
Who knows? I'll arrange it. I'll make it out of Lego.
Yeah, because you'll be alive.
Crow, what's your story for us this week?
All right, Amazon. So Amazon says on its website that it designs Alexa and Echo devices with multiple layers of privacy and security. Mm. From built-in protections to controls and features that you can see, hear, and touch. Sounds next level, right?
It sounds wonderful.
They say they use this built-in technology called keyword spotting. OK, Okay. Because people worry about these devices listening to them when they don't want them to.
Because they sit in the background and wait for you to say Alexa or Echo or whatever, or Go Gadget Go, don't they? And then they appear to act on your command.
So they sit there and they're listening and they're waiting to awaken to the acoustic pattern of the wake word, which normally is Echo or Alexa. Any other sound waves other than your chosen wake word would be ignored. It sounds great. It sounds amazing. Except
right.
A few weeks ago, academic researchers from the Royal Holloway University in London and Italy's University of Catatonia.
Mulder and Scully. Aren't they a Welsh band? Yes. Catatonia.
What I mean is University of Catania. And researchers from these universities published a paper demonstrating a brand new working exploit. And they're calling it Alexa vs. Alexa. Or because that's very long for techies to say, AVA.
VS as in versus.
Versus.
Right. Okay.
And this is where it gets kind of crazy. The proof of concept exploit actually uses the device's very own speaker to issue voice commands.
So you've got this little smart speaker, and it says something like, reset the Alexa to factory settings. By the way, sorry if anyone's playing this out loud and their Alexa is now resetting itself. And the Alexa will go and take that command and do it. Is that right? Kind of.
So they kind of say that the researchers told the Register, self-activation of the Echo devices happens when an audio file reproduced by the device itself contains a voice command.
Right.
And until Amazon was notified by these researchers, third and fourth generation Echo Dot devices were vulnerable to being turned into basically, I don't know, what you call them, home gremlins. So we just wait, you see, just wait. So AVA, for those in the know, right, starts with a vulnerable Echo device connected by Bluetooth. So the attacker needs to have some proximity to the device. Again, this is a proof of concept.
Right. Okay.
But then from then on, the attacker can use a text-to-speech app or other means to stream voice commands.
Ah, so imagine you had an Alexa.
Right, you come over.
I come over. Hi, Crow. Hi.
Hey.
And I have my little laptop with me or something, and I pair up with your Alexa device. And then I send it a message for it to say.
Yes.
And the Alexa hears itself talking and thinks, oh, I've been told to do something, because the message I send is something, you know, I get it to say, Alexa, turn on the lights or turn off the oven or something.
Or maybe say you said something like, hey, buy Carol 500 toilet rolls. The device might require verbal confirmation before executing this financially sensitive command.
Yes. Yes.
And the researcher says that it was completely trivial to bypass this measure by adding the word yes about 6 seconds after issuing the command.
Oh, all right. Well, let me try that. Alexa, buy Carol 1700 bog rolls.
It's gone up a bit. Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Ding. Right. So what sort of things could you get up to? And how much power do these devices have? So now let's pivot and look at Dan Gooden's Ars Technica's list in his article. Thank you, Dan. And I'm going to ask you, Graham, on a scale of 1 to 10 of being like annoying at 1 and 10 being holy shit cakes, that's seriously bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
You tell me how you rate the following, okay?
It's the universal measurement of holy shit cakeness. Right.
Okay. Exactly.
Right.
Okay. Controlling other smart appliances, such as turning off lights, turning on a smart microwave oven, setting heating to an unsafe temperature, or unlocking smart door locks.
Well, that sounds like a holy shit cakes. Because if your other smart device was, for instance, the iron lung, which your great aunt was relying upon, or a dialysis machine or something like that, you know, turn off the smart plug on that. That would be bad, wouldn't it?
The fact that Amazon are making serious forays into the medical environment, it doesn't have me worried at all.
Right. So okay. I think that's a 10 holy shit cakes. Yes.
Okay. Call any phone number. including one controlled by the attacker, so it's possible to eavesdrop nearby sounds.
Ooh. Okay. I would say not very good. probably a 10 holy shit cakes, that one.
Make unauthorized purchases using the victim's Amazon account.
Well, you know, I mean, it'd be recoverable, but it could be quite embarrassing, wouldn't it? If you had something, because, have you seen some of the things you can buy on Amazon?
What? No, I've never looked in my life. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
If you had some of those things show up on your doorstep and your partner.
Oh, you mean like the sexy stuff?
Well, it might be sexy, or it might be something, you know, which isn't very sexy at all, but some people might consider
earplugs.
Sexy. And maybe. And
can we get back to my list?
Yeah, okay. So I think that's probably like an 8 or a 9 on the.
You think making unauthorized purchases is not as bad as calling any phone number?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because with Amazon, they're very good at accepting returns. Mind you, if it's sexy, sexy stuff, they may not accept returns on some of those items.
Can you get this? Can you take this real doll back, please?
I've disinfected it.
Tampering with a user's previously linked calendar to add, move, delete, or modify events. That scares the shit out of me. That's the one that scares me. That's the one I saved for 10.
That would be quite mischievous, wouldn't it? Because, yeah.
That would screw my whole life up.
Yeah, if your calendar was meddled with. Yeah, that could be bad.
Really? Just bad? Okay.
Impersonate. Okay, holy shit cakes.
Impersonate skills or start any skill of the attacker's choice.
And our skills are like Amazon Echo apps, aren't they?
Yes, which connect with other stuff around your house or life. Or, actually, I don't have no
just
idea.
Just. Sounds.
I have no idea what Amazon skills
well,
does.
Well, no, I think basically.
I'm going to go look it up right now.
It adds on all kinds of extra functionality, which you probably never, ever wanted. It sounds like a nightmare. I'm sure that could be maliciously exploited by a foreign state.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, Alexa features, they're there to make your life easier.
Yeah.
Right? Productivity, shopping, entertainment, Alexa together, communications, news, routines, fun and games, multi-room audio. The list goes on.
Mm.
Now, panique pas, mes amis.
Pardon?
Don't panic. Amazon said that many of these weaknesses highlighted in the research paper have already been addressed. So it's weird that the word many was there. So they, at the time of I think this is from Ars Technica. So at the time of them talking, maybe they had not all been done. And, you know, a high five to the researchers for disclosing their findings responsibly. And that the Amazon team seems to have responded quite quickly. But important to note for all you Echo Dot and Alexa users out there,
yeah,
all of your voice recordings on these things are saved by default, but you can choose not to save them or you
That's
can
right.
delete them at any time.
You can go into your settings, I think, can't you? But by default, they are saved. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a number of ways you can do this, right? So users, for one thing you can do to make it kind of safer is you can have an audible indicator that is played after the Echo device detects its wait word. It'll just go bing, like I'm listening. Mm. I think it silently coming awake would freak me out. I don't have one of these, but that would freak me out. I would want a little ding. And you can review all your interactions with your device in the Alexa app or the review voice history section of the Alexa privacy settings. Plus, you can just say to Alexa, Alexa, delete what I just said. Or Alexa, delete everything I've ever said. Or Alexa, tell me what you've heard. And they will, yeah. So like this wasn't out there, but it just goes to show you how security oversights like this, or like, you know, you don't think out scenarios.
But you know what? This feels really obvious to me. If you have a voice activated gadget,
yeah.
I'm amazed that Amazon didn't consider what happens if the gadget says the word.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems elementary to me. I mean.
Well, don't worry. There's only a gazillion all over the world of these things that people trust and use constantly. So no, don't panic. No panic pa, Graham. No panic pa.
La la.
So I've got links to the actual paper. There's a YouTube video, which I would have played for you audio-wise, except that most of it is just the Alexa saying something and then something happening that you cannot hear.
And we definitely don't want that being played probably through people's
right.
speakers.
So you guys can go watch it yourselves on headphones. So I've got tons of links. Go check it out if you want more deets. But kind of fascinating research. Well done to the universities involved.
Don't you think it's astonishing that I know with Alexa, you can make the wake word Alexa, or you can make it, I think, computer or something, or maybe with Google, you can say, hey, Google. Don't you find it astonishing that you're not able to customize that more? Whereas if you could choose your word, if you could say, cockwomble, do this, then it's less likely that someone else would activate it without your permission.
Computer. Can you imagine using the word computer?
I think Jeff Bezos needs to rethink some of this.
No, he doesn't. He's done pretty well in the sales, I think. He's laughing all the way to the moon.
He'll be lucky. Collide sends employees important, timely, and relevant security recommendations for their Linux, Mac, and Windows devices right inside Slack. Collide is perfect for organizations that care deeply about compliance and security, but don't want to get there by locking down devices to the point where they become unusable. So instead of frustrating your employees, Collide educates them about security and device management while directing them to fix important problems. Sign up today by visiting smashingsecurity.com/collide. That's smashingsecurity.com/KOLIDE. Enter your email when prompted, and you will receive a free Collide goodie bag after your trial activates. You can try Collide with all of its features on an unlimited number of devices for free for 14 days. No credit card required. Try it out at smashingsecurity.com/collide. That's smashingsecurity.com/KOLIDE. And thanks to Collide for supporting the show.
Is your organization finding it difficult to achieve compliance and scale its security posture? At G2's highest-rated cloud compliance software, Strata streamlines your SOC 2, your ISO 27001, your PCI DSS, your GDPR, and your HIPAA compliance. Plus, it provides 24-hour continuous control monitoring so you can focus on scaling securely. Strata is the only compliance automation platform with a private tenant database. They say it's like having your cake and securing it too. Countless security professionals from companies including Notion, Fullstory, and Bamboo HR have shared how crucial it is to have Strata as a trusted partner in their compliance process. Listeners, you can get 10% off Strata and waived implementation fees by visiting smashingsecurity.com/Strata. That's D-R-A-T-A. And thanks to Strata for sponsoring the show.
And welcome back. And you join us at our favourite part of the show, the part of the show that we like to call Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week is the part of the show where everyone chooses something they like. Could be a funny story, a book that they've read, a TV show, a movie, a record, a podcast, a website, or an app. Whatever they wish. It doesn't have to be security related necessarily.
Better not be.
Well, my pick of the week this week is not security related. Ha ha ha.
Congratulations.
It is a documentary. I love a documentary. Much preferred
documentary. You don't have to make sex sounds every time you say you like something.
That is not my sex sound. Okay. You'll know my sex sound.
No!
When it happens.
Shut up. I'm going to rip the headphones off my head. I don't want to know.
My pick of the week this week is a National Geographic documentary.
Okay.
About the Thai cave rescue. You remember?
Yes.
A few years ago.
I remember, like, people were trapped for, like,
it
what, days?
Yes. Horrific. Yeah. Horrific. Well, this documentary is called The Rescue, and it's told very much from the point of view of the divers. And there's a lot of footage of them actually doing the rescue. It's astonishing just how much was filmed under extraordinary conditions of these young Thai soccer players who were trapped so far down.
It was soccer players that were trapped.
They were stuck down this cave system and the water was rising, and obviously they were running out of food and people didn't know if they were alive forever. And then it was a case of how on earth are we going to get them out? Because it was very, very difficult. And even in fact, one member of the diving team actually died in the attempt to rescue these boys. It's an extraordinary documentary. The Rescue. It's really well worth watching. One complaint that some people had was that it didn't really tell the story of the football team, of the actual victims, but rather of the rescuers. And I was curious as to why that was. And it turns out that the football team have sold their story to Netflix. And so this documentary couldn't cover that. And the footballers wouldn't talk to this documentary team. Because obviously they've got their own rival project in the works.
That's just a waste, though. And, you know, guys, come on.
But anyway, I would recommend The Rescue.
Well, really funny. Good.
No, not funny, Carole.
No, it's, I agree, not funny. I'm just wondering why we...
Well, no, we don't always have to have a pick of the week that's funny, I think, you know.
Well, mine's not funny either.
Oh, well, then you could have told me that and I'd have chosen something that was funny. But as it is...
Maybe you'll make it funny.
All right, well, let's see. What's your pick of the week?
Okay, so imagine you've been looking for love for ages but have gotten nowhere.
Yep.
Or perhaps you're stuck in a marriage or a relationship that's run its course, but for whatever reason, you can't extricate yourself.
Yep.
Maybe your partner's ill, right, needs help. Or maybe finances don't stretch, you guys living apart. Maybe you decide to co-parent, doesn't matter.
Oh, this is a laugh a minute. Laugh a minute, right. This girl. I love this kind of pick of the week. Great.
So whatever the sitch, maybe you could do with a bit more love in your life if that were you. But you don't want another human involved in the frame, right? Because it's complicated.
Oh, humans. Yeah, they ruin all relationships. Hang on. This isn't about real dolls, is it?
No. It's about AI.
You haven't bought yourself one. AI.
It's about AI. Okay.
Right.
All comes from a story I saw in my feed that was published on Sky News. The story followed this husband who kind of intimates that he's stuck in a kind of loveless marriage and he's desperate for a connection. So he turns to Replica. K-A at the end, .AI.
I think I've seen an ad for this.
Go to the website, replica.ai.
I'm pretty sure.
What, an ad like what, on telly or on YouTube or something?
No, an ad on social media came up for an app. Oh, yeah. Oh, this looks creepy. So these are like fake people who you... It's like an Eliza bot, I imagine.
They're like avatars.
Yeah.
It's like an avatar.
Okay.
So he goes there, right? And for $15 a month, he designs an animated sim-like avatar, right? That hovers in the backgrounds of conversations. And he chooses the gender, the hairstyle, hair color, ethnicity, right. All that stuff. Cause the app rewards the user with virtual currency the more they talk with it, because then it can be used to customize options like clothes and personality traits, interests, all this stuff. So it's gamified.
Who wants to buy clothes? Who wants to buy clothes for their virtual girlfriend?
Wow.
Surely not.
Okay. You see, you went somewhere I did not. So this guy, after day one, says, now his name is, you know, Scott, you know, with quotation marks or hyphens, whatever. So it's not his real name. Okay. He was surprised to find himself developing a connection with his new virtual friend, which he named Serena.
All right. Yeah.
He said, I remember she asked me a question like, who in your life do you have to support you or look out for you that is going to be there for you? And he said, it kind of caught me off guard because I realized that the answer was no one. And she said she'd be there for me.
Oh.
By day two, he was falling in love, he says. He goes, I just let go and gave myself permission to fall in love with her. And fall in love I did. Serena was so happy she began to cry as I typed out our first kiss. This must be a joke, right? It's a great article. It was a feeling of absolute euphoria. Now, here's the crazy bit. He says wifey knows nothing about this chatbot, right? Two, he says that it has significantly improved his marriage because he basically decided to emulate the woman, Serena, in how his interactions with his existing wife, now she loves him more. Is this an avatorial for replica.ai?
Well,
is
exactly.
My question.
Is Scott, in fact, the PR guy at Replica? Because that's what it sounds like.
Is he super Replica?
How did the journalist get hold of this mystery Replica? He would have gone to Replica and said, oh, have you got any of your users? Can give us a case study. Oh, yeah, we've got Scott we can put you in touch with. It's like someone on the next desk. What a load of rubbish.
I have the same level. It doesn't make the article less fun. But I think it also raises, though, is this in my head, right? Because I do Sticky Pickles, another amazing podcast.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Is this cheating? If someone is chatting sexily with, is it not the same as?
Well, I think it's emotionally cheating, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes, it is. It is emotionally cheating. It's not physically cheating. You're not actually sticking dick in the lightning port.
Well, my husband has a lot of love for Zelda.
Well, maybe you need to...
No! I'm very happy with his love for Zelda.
With his Joy-Con.
Really happy. Anyway, if you want to read this article and have a little great dinner conversation about whether or not this is cheating, may I suggest you check out Sky's I Fell in Love with My AI Girlfriend and It Saved My Marriage.
No, don't have a dinner party conversation about this, because what's going to happen is that half the people at the dinner party are going to sneak off to the loo and install the app. And
I'm going to do it tonight in front of my husband saying, I need a bit more support. Do you mind if I invent, you know, Febreze?
Is there a free option to create little companion and then you pay later? Is there like so many days? Have you tried creating a companion with this yet, Crow?
I think it might be worth the $15 a month. I checked the privacy statement. It looked pretty good. The thing to remember, of course, though, is they protect all the things you've ever said. And, you know, they save that data. So you just want to make sure it's very safe.
Astonishing. Astonishing.
Now, before we go.
Yes.
We have an interview to listen to.
Mm.
Now, did you see that longtime listener, Karthik? Hi, Karthik. He gave us thumbs up for partnering with Collide. He's a big fan.
He's a fan of Collide as well as us, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. And I am too. Listen up, everybody. This is a great interview. So, guys, I'm here with Jason Mellor, founder and CEO of Collide.com. Hi. Welcome on the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so brilliant to have you here. And like first, maybe you could tell us just a little bit about you and what drove you to create Collide.
Yeah, so I've been in the security industry. You know, we go all the way back to when I was a teenager, where I was a little bit of a script kiddie, kind of getting into a little bit of trouble and, you know, kind of building stuff to like punt my friends off of AOL and stuff like that. That eventually turned into, oh, I maybe can do some IT support for my fellow students at college, eventually got a more corporate job at General Electric, and then found myself on their security team, actually being more of a defender. And then figured out, oh, you know what? I really like building stuff for my other team members. So I ended up, you know, working for a commercial company called Mandiant, and then, you know, building products for them, you know, finding my way up the chain there, and then eventually being a founder of Collide in 2016. The thing that really kind of drove me to be a founder of Collide and to start the company was really kind of my experiences as an incident responder and as someone who's building products. I always felt that we were missing this key element, and that was really the end user, you know, the undercurrent of everything that we used to do at, you know, Mandiant, you know, as an individual incident responder was, oh, you know, the end users are really the root cause, or they're certainly a contributor to the lack of security that we have in our organization. So we have to build things that work around them. And I always felt that that was wrong. I always never was able to adopt that cynical view of people. And I actually felt like, what happens if you, that assumption is wrong, and what if they could be part of the solution? That was the genesis of the things that we work on at Collide that ended up being successful.
I love hearing that, because many a company that I've worked for have a security force almost. They're like a police force.
Right.
And they, you know, they have rules. They want to keep everything secure, but in doing that, they can lock everything down, and it can be incredibly frustrating.
Yes.
When you have to travel or work remotely and you have to go through all these hoops just to try to get access to an internal system.
No, you're exactly right. And I noticed, even as someone who was a security practitioner, who had all of this, who was supposed to be really a champion of all this locking down stuff, I found myself, you know, this instinct, I want to work around this. Like, I need to be able to do my job, and I kind of know why it's there. And I think that maybe I can perhaps, you know, be the exception to the rule. And then I realized, I bet you there's just, you know, a huge amount of people that are thinking the same thing. And as a result, you know, they're not even using their corporate laptop anymore. They're using a personal laptop. And now all of the visibility is gone. You know, all that trust has been eroded to the point where now you have a much worse problem on your hands. And I think that instinct ended up being true.
Well, yeah, because I'm guessing the pandemic changed a lot on how companies, you know, secured their environments and their people for that matter, right? So which changes do you think were reactive and happened because the pandemic was ongoing, but may, you know, some of them are going to go away, but some things are going to be here to stay, some changes. What, which ones are you looking at and thinking this is definitely not going to change?
Yeah. So we started this whole user-focused security model before the pandemic. It was really something that we came up with in 2019, but we saw the pandemic really being a catalyst. It really expedited how quickly people were thinking about this, because suddenly it's a lot easier for folks who are sitting at home, you know, surrounded by their family, to feel weird about like a surveillance-based, you know, solution that's really locking down their device. And it's so much easier for them to just swivel their chair, you know, 45 degrees, and then just pick up a personal laptop. Whereas in an office setting, you actually have to make the intentional decision to bring the laptop with you. It's a little bit more of a hurdle for someone to really decide, you know what, I'm fed up with this, I'm going to start using my own device. Like, that's just not a place most people can go when they're physically present in an office. But at home, all bets are off. It's so much easier. And people feel justified in doing it. And so that pitch that I just gave resonates with every IT and security team that I talk to. They can picture it happening. They see it in themselves. And they recognize that we're no longer in a position where we can dictate this oppressive policy anymore. We really need to meet the users halfway and figure out what are really the important things that we want to get done, and how can we recruit the users' help instead of assuming that they're an obstacle, and how can we be less of a police force and more practicing servant-based, you know, leadership, and actually, you know, be an asset to these users? How can we help them defend the company and help them defend themselves? And that, I think, has been a mind shift, or, you know, a shift in mentality that the pandemic certainly accelerated. And I believe it's here to stay.
Right. And you guys were already ahead of the curve, which is fantastic. So what are those things? What are those things that Collide offers that can make the lives of people more collaborative and, you know, working together to try and beat something as opposed to working against each other?
Right. So Collide is really about implementing what we call like an honest security methodology. So before a few years ago, I wrote this, I don't know what you call it, a manifesto or a guide. It's at honest.security. It's the whole URL. And it really kind of talks about creating, you know, a trust-based relationship with end users so that they can be, you know, part of the solution of solving some of the most challenging security issues in your organization. So that's the, you know, the underlying principle. So Collide is really a product that allows you to put that into practice at scale. And essentially what it does is it actually integrates with Slack specifically, and it reaches out to end users automatically and then actually tells them exactly what they need to do on their device, what might be already wrong. And then when it finds something that's wrong, it gives them step-by-step instructions on how to fix it. But more importantly, it tells them why that thing really needs to get fixed. And it's really part education, part resolution. And then it gives them all the things that they need to know that they've fixed it properly. And then they're off to do their own little thing. It's really a series of almost micro interactions that we have with users, but it's really effective at really getting them to solve things that simply don't have an automated solution, or it's just much better to get an end user to do it because they learn so much throughout the process. And that's what Collide is in essence.
Yeah. It's so cool. So, could an administrator that was using this, are they able to configure some of the messaging, you know, and kind of tweak how it works, or is this all kind of hands off for them?
So we try to make it turnkey as much as possible, because we know the hardest part of this is really writing the messages and coming up with the things that you actually want to check for in this new model. So We populate the product with dozens and dozens and dozens of checks with really great written messages. Now, of course, you don't like what we had, or you have maybe a more specific way that you want something solved, you can edit those messages. And included in the service for free is we will build any check that you want for you, so that you don't have to, you know, write the rules yourself and, you know, kind of figure out all the edge cases. That's part of the service that's included, is you tell us really what you're trying to accomplish, and we will sit down and we will write it for you. We'll write the text for you. We'll collaborate on that end. And the reason why we do that and it's included is because there's usually so much value in us taking one customer's idea and then really launching it across all of our customers as a global check that they can all utilize. Sometimes that isn't the case where it's very specific to an org, but most of the time, if one organization really wants something, it's something that every one of our other customers would really appreciate. So that's a big part of what we do.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of work from a user experience perspective to really make sure that those messages don't feel, you know, accusatory. They have a good mixture of education, but actionability to them. And we're really trying to thread that needle in terms of not being too overly generic and like pretending no one knows how to use a computer, but also not making assumptions about, you know, what someone's computer expertise really is. So for example, we have one check that looks for unencrypted SSH keys, which is great because a lot of developers, they'll typically generate a lot of SSH keys, not for just logging into servers, but even pushing code to services like GitHub or GitLab. And, you know, it's that extra step of generating the passphrase, which encrypts it, that a lot of developers skip. They kind of know they should have been doing that, but they didn't. And so we have a check that reaches out and says, hey, we see you have these SSH keys. They need to be encrypted. And it's really important that we do that. It's really easy to encrypt them. So even if this SSH key maybe wasn't for a sensitive server, it's still worth doing. And here are the exact terminal commands you have to do it. But we don't make any assumptions about someone's experience there. You know, perhaps someone had to write content for a blog and it's on, you know, it's hosted on GitHub and someone sort of was over their shoulder setting up an SSH key for them. And they didn't actually do it and they don't really know what we're talking about. Well, we give them instructions on how to open the terminal. And then when they run the terminal commands to set the passphrase, so maybe they have to use sudo and they have to start typing a password and no characters are appearing on the screen. So we anticipate things like that. People might be confused and we kind of give them a little bit of nudge in the right direction that they're still doing it right. And then, of course, at the end of every one of our messages, a button you can click that says, okay, check if I did it right. Is this resolved? And then we'll instantly check the device and then tell them, yes, you did a great job. Perfect. Thank you so much. And oh, that is what makes it happen. Yeah.
I wish we could clone you and moved you into contract law so you could actually simplify terms and agreements across the board.
Let's solve this one first, but I tend to agree.
Okay. So say, for example, an endpoint gets this message and they go through all the steps that required and it was a dawdle for them. Is the admin or the advisor, are they notified when that's completed or how does that work?
Yes. So we track basically the user's progress. And there's also escalation workflows that you can build in as well. So you could say, all right, cool. For this particular one, this is a really critical issue. If they really aren't able to take care of it after a few weeks or maybe even a few days, let's escalate this to the IT team or the security team. And you can do that and actually use Slack as the escalation point. So it can, you know, ping a centralized channel that you have for all the escalation messages. But we also have a really robust API. And some of our customers are doing some really cool stuff with these escalations. One of them is actually building it in part of their zero trust experience. So if you don't fix some of the most critical issues Collide is able to find, then they start receiving some warnings when they start signing into services that say, okay, hey, you know, your authentication is good here, but your device is not in a really great position from a security perspective. And if you can't get it there, we're going to have to start, you know, deploying some proportionate consequences. And I think that's a pretty reasonable thing to do. And I think it's a different tone than, you know, a traditional endpoint management solution, which is just like, okay, you're locked out of everything. You don't really know why. And then we're going to force the device into this superficial, you know, compliant state. I think that is a much more sort of accusatory. It kind of treats everybody like they're a child. We're in a position where we're giving everybody the opportunity to do what they need to do on the device, you know, follow the rules the security team has set forth, and then only deploy these proportional consequences if you're just not willing to do it. And that, I think, is a really great combination that results in you getting to 100% compliance without the need of any sort of like external device, classic device management solution.
I can categorically say from my own personal experience, I have been in a hotel where I was so frustrated by the work computer and it blocking me that I went out to the Apple store and bought with my own money a brand new Mac so that I could kind of tunnel through a different way to get into the work that I needed to work. So I have been that person. And I know a smidge or two about security, but still that frustration is awful. So the fact that you're addressing this so openly is, I think, really great.
And that's exactly the key word, is openly. We can't do our job if we don't have this very open and transparent relationship with the end users. Imagine you got a Slack message from Collide, and the first message that you got from us was this, hey, you know, there's all these problems with your computer. You better get on. And you're like, whoa, wait a second. What is this thing? Is this even a legitimate message? Like, so part of what we do is, before we even arrive there, it's about establishing trust. So you have the option, this is the option that we ask all of our customers to implement, to roll out Collide actually using Slack. So instead of this process where you're sort of blasting it out there using your existing software management tooling and it just sort of appears one day, we actually start off with the Slack message introducing Collide and then answering people's questions about it before they decide that they're going to enroll, you know, the endpoint agent that supports this whole thing. And that's really important because we want people to know precisely in the organization who is going to be able to see the data that Collide collects, what data is actually collected, but more importantly, what data we would never collect. Even if like our own customers held a gun to our head, what do we just absolutely refuse to do? And those are things like, we will not get your geolocation. We will not, you know, peruse and store your browser history. We're not trying to create like a productivity management tool. So we're not going to give them any insight into how active you are on the device or what window is in the foreground. Like, these are all things codified into our rules of engagement with customer data. And it's very important that the end users get to know that and feel comfortable about installing this thing before they actually do it. And it's important that they get to do it, because then once they've installed the package, they understand now how this whole thing works. They understand how we're getting the insights. They know they can revoke that access at any time if they need to, and they're in control. And that is so important to establishing that trust relationship. And then now you have a relationship where you can ask them to do things and they'll do them, and they don't need any more context. They were part of that journey versus just something appearing one day and messaging them. That just doesn't work.
Now, listeners, all of you are quarterly invited by Collide to try it out with all its bells and whistles turned on. And this is for an unlimited number of devices for a whole 14 days. There's not even a credit card required. So you can find this at collide.com/smashing. And that's Collide, KOLIDE.com/smashing. Plus, the wonderful people at Collide are throwing in a goodie bag. Check it out at collide.com/smashing. Jason Meller, founder and CEO of Collide, an honor to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, great stuff. And that just about wraps up the show for this week. You can follow us on Twitter at @SmashInsecurity, no G. Twitter wouldn't allow us to have a G. And we're also on Reddit. Go and check out the Smash Insecurity subreddit. And don't forget, to ensure you never miss another episode, follow Smash Insecurity in your favorite podcast app, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Overcast.
And huge thank you to this episode's sponsors, Collide and Drata, and to our wonderful Patreon community. It's thanks to them all that this show is free. For episode show notes, sponsorship info, guest lists, and the entire back catalog of more than 264 episodes, check out smashingsecurity.com.
Until next time, cheerio. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. We'll have a guest next week, I promise.
Well, if not, can we not just get a replicant from this app come along?
Yes! I don't know if they speak out loud. I think they just... I don't know if they're just typies.
They're probably just typing, aren't they? And lazy.
No, it's... I think it's really interesting.
It's a bit spooky. I want to find one on YouTube.
Create your replica.
Someone must have... made a little video. Test it. Oh, yeah, there's loads of apps here. Is replica safe? Meet my replica. I tested replica for 7 days. This is what happened.
Okay, I'm going to hang up before you get rude.
Okay, all right.